Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 1 as we think this morning of holy things and holy places. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, holy things and holy places. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain Pharisees said unto them, Why do you that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. This week, we've heard much about holy places. The world's attention has been focused on what we call the Holy Land. We hear the names of ancient cities that we have read about in our Bibles. There's Bethlehem, Jerusalem, the tomb, the Church of the Nativity, and many other names that are names that we have heard from our youth. In fact, one of the pictures that was shown most often on television this week was that of the Church of the Nativity, the supposed place where Jesus was born, where there has been erected a building. And it's said to be, by the commentators, the most holy place on earth to those who are Christians. The most holy place on earth. And we have seen Israeli tanks with their guns aimed at it. And this, I suppose, was supposed to shock the world as to the insensitivity and the brutality of the Jewish race. In these verses that we've read this morning, we read of the conflicts that swirled around Jesus because of his attitude toward the Sabbath. The Pharisees condemned him for allowing his disciples to gather grain on the Sabbath and eat the grains of wheat or grains of corn. Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath, and they were waiting to condemn him for what he did. So we ask ourselves this question this morning, were the Pharisees wrong? Why were they looking at Jesus and judging him by what he did or did not do on the Sabbath day? Why were they so anxious for the Sabbath to come so that they might attend synagogue with Jesus and watch him and see what he did? Were these things wrong? Was Jesus wrong to do what he did, to say what he said in regard to the Sabbath? And what did Jesus really mean? And what about, quote, Sabbath keeping? Where are we today as God's people in regard to keeping the Sabbath? Well, let's look first at the so-called unlawful act of gathering grain. The Bible tells us that the disciples of Jesus walked through the fields, and oftentimes In this area of the world, the farmers would leave very hard paths so that travelers could walk across their fields getting to this place or to that place. And these disciples of Jesus, being hungry, they gathered stripped from the stalk grains, like grains of wheat or heads of wheat. They then rubbed them in their hands, blew away the husk, and then ate them. Very simple thing, and a thing that was practiced by people in that world and still practiced in third world countries. But the Pharisees, who saw them do this, accused them. They said, "Why do you that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days?" What did they do? Well, according to Jewish tradition, according to the interpretation of Luke, or rather of Exodus 20 and 10, these disciples had done three things that the Sabbath forbade. Number one, they harvested on Sunday, and that was against the traditions. That was working on the Sabbath. They harvested grains. Secondly, they thrashed grain because they had rubbed this between their hands, and that was work, because thrashing is work and harvesting is work. And then they blew away the husk, and that was a third crime that they committed because they were winnowing on the Sabbath. So they did three things. They harvested on the Sabbath, they thrashed on the Sabbath, and they winnowed on the Sabbath. And so this is why the Pharisees were so upset. Now, in order to understand what guided them, turn to the book of Exodus chapter 20. And we'll look at verse 10. We're not going to read a lot of other verses this morning, but this is what guided them in regard to the Sabbath day. "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." That's it. All of the other things had been built upon the interpretation of the rabbis. And they're the ones who decided that to gather some grain was work. That to rub it between your hands was work. That to blow away the husk, that was work. And therefore these men had violated the Sabbath and could be stoned to death for what they had done. There were a lot of things that were considered working by these grossly in error interpreters of the commandment of God. They believed that if you dragged a stick in the dirt, that was working because that was plowing. They also treated a sore throat with oil. That is, they gargled with oil to treat a sore throat. So they had a real quandary: is gargling work? And if gargling is work, then you shouldn't do it on the Sabbath. So they finally decided that gargling was work, and so you couldn't gargle with medicinal oil on Saturdays, the Sabbath, but you could swallow because that was natural. Any other day you could gargle, but on the Sabbath you had to just swallow. And that's how picky these people had become. And this is the kind of attitude that Jesus experienced while he was here on earth with the Pharisees concerning the Sabbath day. Now, the answer of Jesus to this question, "Why do you that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days," or "Why are you doing this?" Jesus answered them and said, "Have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was hungered, and they which were with him, and he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also them which were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. Jesus gave them an example out of the history of their nation, where David, who's one of their favorite characters and the hero of every Jewish man, when he's being pursued, when he had to leave because Saul was angry at him, sought his life, David and his men were hungry. They went into the house of God, the Bible says, and they took the showbread which had been placed there, and the priests only were to eat it. But David and his followers ate the showbread. David said, "Have you not read about this in our history? Are you not aware of the fact that David did this?" And I'm sure they were. They understood perfectly what Jesus was talking about. And evidently they did not intend to condemn David, because to do such would have brought the anger of the people upon them. But Jesus told them why he did what he did in verse 5. "That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Jesus said to them, "I am the Son of God, and I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And as the Lord of the Sabbath, I am free to do what I choose to do, because man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man." His idea is this: God didn't create the Sabbath day and then make men to observe it. God created the Sabbath day and created man, and then created the Sabbath day so men could worship Jehovah God. I want you to keep all this in mind, because we're going somewhere. Jesus has more liberty than any other person, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath, the creator of all things. And he could do as he chose. And then there's the unlawful act of healing on the Sabbath day. The Bible tells us that Jesus went into the synagogue, and this was his custom. And the Bible tells us that he went to teach. He didn't go to heal. But there was a man there with a withered hand. We don't know exactly what this means, but we do know that he was so crippled, so incapacitated, that it was obvious, and it was a tremendous hindrance to this man's life and the enjoyment of it to its fullest. And when these Pharisees saw Jesus come into the synagogue and they saw a man in the congregation with a withered hand, they knew that something was going to happen, and they watched Jesus that they might accuse him. And this word "accuse" means to speak against or to condemn by words. These people watched Jesus because they expected him to heal this man with a withered hand, and as soon as he had accomplished this unspeakably glorious feat, they then would immediately begin to condemn him as having broken the Sabbath. Jesus was fully aware of their attitude, because the Bible tells us that he knew their thoughts. And we know that Jesus Christ is capable of reading our thoughts. We have to communicate with words and body language, but Jesus understands the thinking of our minds. And then Jesus set out to do what he saw needed to be done. He told the man with the withered hand to rise up and stand forth in the midst, just like we are today in this setting. Jesus said to the man, "Stand up, walk over here, get right in the middle of everyone. I want everyone to see this." And then Jesus challenged the Pharisees by asking them a question. Verse 9. I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Now, to do good would be to heal the man. To do nothing would be to do evil. James, who wrote this principle and explained it a little better in the book of James, wrote, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And this is the principle that Jesus is articulating here as he asks these Pharisees, is it good to do good on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, or is it lawful to do evil on the Sabbath? And of course, they were in a dilemma. They would have to say, it's right, it's lawful to do good. And they all understood what having a withered right hand meant. In fact, Luke, who is the physician, is the only writer who describes his incapacitating problem as being with his right hand. And in a culture where men farmed and were carpenters and laborers, to have one hand incapable of movement was a tremendous disadvantage to making a living for oneself or for one's family. And Jesus saw this. He knew that this man needed the full use of his right hand, and the Bible tells us that he restored it. He said, "Stretch forth thy hand," and he did so, and his hand was restored, notice, as whole as the other. Now this man had two hands that were equal in their ability to respond to the needs that he had to work and do. And the Bible tells us in verse 11 that this drove these people literally insane. The word used in verse 11 in our KJV is madness. It's a word that has a negative attached to it and means not or no. And then the word is mind. And so what they did was so aggravating, so contradictory to the way they taught, that they literally lost their minds. They lost their ability to think. And so they communed together, which speaks of talking to everyone. The Pharisees simply didn't mutter among themselves. The Pharisees didn't gather over in a corner and talk about it. They involved everyone in the congregation. They all began to talk about it. It was talked all around. What has this man done? And are we going to let this man get away with breaking the Sabbath? Just another illustration of how absurdly they looked at the Sabbath was this. It is wrong for a human being to walk a mile or a certain measure of distance. So they reasoned, I can get a donkey, and then I can ride the donkey, and the donkey will be working. I can't work my cattle, but I can work the donkey. And then I'll be able to travel as far as I want to, because I won't be working, the donkey will be working. But someone said, aha, I saw you put a saddle on the donkey, and that's working. And the saddle consisted really of a cloth, a heavy cloth. And they said, no, if you ride that donkey to get out of work, you can't put a saddle on him, because that's work. And besides that, when you got there, you couldn't take the saddle off, because that's work. You see how absurdly they had interpreted one of the commandments. And it's how you interpret work. What is work? Now let's think about some things for us today. That's what happened to Jesus. And that's the way the Pharisees looked at the Jewish Sabbath. But there are some things for us to consider in regard to the principles that are expressed here. And the most important question we have to ask is this: is there a Sabbath today? That is there a specific time appointed by God for us to worship Him? Is it 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, Sunday morning? When have we been appointed a time to worship God according to the covenant under which we live today, which is the second covenant? For the first covenant has now been set aside. It has been fulfilled by the work of Christ on the cross. And something for us to think about is the fact that the law was never given to the Gentiles. The Gentiles of the world were never under Sabbath observance. Read the book of Romans and you'll see that Jew and Gentile are separated, and that the Jews had the law, but the Gentiles did not have the law. So there was never a time when Gentiles were under the Jewish Sabbath. The second thing we have to consider is that Jesus said in the Colossian letter that Christ came and that He nailed the law to the cross. Took it out of the way. Nailed it to His cross. And now the law is fulfilled, and there is now an abrogation of the law. And it's the law of Moses to the Jews and not the law of Moses to the Gentiles. He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Not some of the law, but all of the law. And you say, well, if we're not living under the Ten Commandments, then what about adultery? Well, Jesus said to lust is wrong. You say, well, what about stealing? Well, to covet is wrong. Jesus Christ gave a new meaning to all of these principles that violate the rights of God and the rights of others. Thou shalt do no murder. That's what the Jewish law said, but Jesus said, you shall not hate. After the crucifixion of Jesus, then Sunday, the first day of the week, was chosen by the first disciples as a time to remember the teachings as well as the resurrection of the Son of God. We know from history that they generally met early in the morning every day of the week, but Sunday was a particular day simply because it was the day that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. But it was not considered a holiday or holy day until much later. After the uniting of church and state some 460 AD, then Roman dictators made Sunday the official government day of worship. God never did, and Jesus never did, and Paul never did, but a dictator of the Roman Empire did. There is no such thing as the Christian Sabbath. Every day is holy unto the Lord. And you say, but Brother Penn, Are you trying to tell us that we shouldn't worship God on a particular day? No, I'm not saying that at all. We are to worship God. But we worship God in an assembly. Is it lawful on the day of worship then to do good or evil? We have chosen this day. It fits in well with what our government has set forth in the sense of it's a day when most people do it, and so it's convenient for us to do it also. I can imagine how confused and depressing it would be to worship on Monday, don't you? You get up on Monday and go to work, you can be grumpy and grippy and whatever, but if our worship was on Monday, we'd have to sing in the sweet by and by a number of times before we could ever get along, right? But as we think of the assembly, we have to answer the question, ask ourselves and answer the question, is it lawful on the day of worship to do good or evil? And the whole idea, the principle is, should people suffer? Should people die? Should people be hungry so that the worship or the day of worship can be observed truly dedicated to God? And the answer is no. It is not right to let animals suffer for water or for food. It is not right to let people who have been injured suffer on the day of worship because we don't want to violate the day of worship. It is not right to let human beings who are in stress or who are in dire need suffer because we don't want to break the worship service. We don't want to break the day of worship by doing labor on the day of worship. After we had gathered this morning, I heard the fire truck leaving Bryant. I never thought those people are breaking the Sabbath. They ought to just let it burn down. And you wouldn't either if you knew it was your house. It is right to do good on the Sabbath day. It was right for the Jews when they were under the Mosaic system, and they still are because they refuse to believe Christ and trust Him. And there is a day when we ought to rest and remember God and worship God. 6 days of work is enough. Maybe we can be like the French and go to what, 36 hours now? Then we'll be as good and holy and righteous as they are, right? Yeah. Why is it right to do good on the Sabbath day? By how can we say it is right to do good on the Sabbath day? Because God understands our frail nature. Man is frail and his needs are often immediate. Mankind is biological. We have needs that affect our well-being and our health. I'll give you an example of what is not right, what is evil. We hear a lot about the religion of Islam and Muslims, and recently, while we were already involved in the war we're fighting against terrorism, the month of Ramadan was coming up. And many people were saying, we have to stop the war during Ramadan because the Muslim countries, the Arabs, they'll have to break their holy month in order to fight. My response was, let them quit, but let's keep going. Shoot them while they're praying. Now, if you think that is bad thinking, let me show you something. You know, we put up with just about everything that we could swallow from the Japanese in the 30s. They were arrogant. They were aggressive. But we just let them alone until they bombed Pearl Harbor. But let me tell you something. They did it on Sunday. And that made everybody in America mad. Because they did it on Sunday. Think about it. During Ramadan, pregnant women have to abstain from drinking water. Now, these are the radicals. Don't misunderstand me. But the Taliban in Afghanistan enforced this. Sick people with high fever cannot drink from sun up till sundown. The human being has to suffer. Why? Because it is a holy month, and during this entire month, from sun up to sundown, you can't drink anything, you can't eat anything, and the human body suffers. And that's an evil thing that is perpetuated and placed upon the back of people by an evil religion. Mercy is better than sacrifice, so God Almighty Himself said. Should a doctor attend patients on Sunday? Yes. Should nurses work on Sunday? Yes. Should animals be fed on Sunday? Absolutely. Should humanitarian and the relief of the poor, the elderly, the sick, should that be done on Sunday? Absolutely. Should little children be taken care of and fed? Absolutely. On Sunday, no question about it. Should cranky husbands who let their wives know, I'll starve to death before you get dinner ready? Well, no, maybe I shouldn't go there. You know, one fellow said that medical doctors were able to identify people who went to North Bryant Baptist Church when they examined them physically. And I wondered how they did that, and they said every man has a callus either on his right side or left side, rather hard, large callus, where the wives have been giving them this for over a period of years. I don't know if that's true or not, but it could be, maybe. I don't know. We ought to honor God, and we ought to love one another. We ought to care for one another, and Sunday ought to be a very special day. It ought to be a day when we turn away from things as best we can, put our thoughts and our minds on God Almighty, His Word, and His work. We ought not to punish people who need sustenance, help. The police need to work. The firemen need to work. Our doctors need to work. And it's not wrong to do good on the Sabbath.